Ladies and gentlemen, this is season two of The Drop-In. I can't believe we're back. It's been a long break, and I apologize, but we've been putting out some awesome new shows here at Atwell Radio. I hope you listen to them all. To give you a quick preview of what we have on The Drop-In this season, we have more actors, more actresses, we have Grammy Award-winning musicians, we have top 100 podcast hosts. Thank you so much for joining, and up next is episode one of The Drop-In. Joining us this week are Chad King and Ian Axel, the musicians that make up Grammy Award-winning duo A Great Big World. If you're unfamiliar with A Great Big World, these guys had their breakout hit called Say Something featuring Christina Aguilera.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
I was lucky enough to be able to join Ian and Chad at Chad's new Manhattan apartment where we had this interview. Drum roll, please. All right, here we go with episode one, season two, The Drop-In.
I told Ian, like, I only want to live in places, like, that are super, like, bougie and, like...
Where did you live before? Was it not like this?
It was just like this.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, all right. So now that you guys have, like, a couple bucks, though, right? You have a couple bucks in your pocket.
That's the only reason.
But it hasn't changed? It hasn't changed your living situation?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I wouldn't be here.
That's what I mean. Yeah. What type of place did you used to live in?
I mean, we used to share a place in Astoria. I used to live in the kitchen.
He chose the kitchen.
But the kitchen was really big. And so I was like, yeah, I'll make a room out of this.
The kitchen was bigger than my bedroom, but I had a door.
Yeah, yeah. And you just had a refrigerator.
We put up a comforter.
Like a curtain rod with a comforter over it, and you tape a sign to it.
Oh, yeah. What is this?
What was the sign? Do not enter?
Well, wait.
Do not eat?
Is this...
The rating?
Yeah, language-wise.
Yeah,
like how,
no, go
how,
for it, baby.
Okay, cool.
Let loose. Unbridled.
I don't know if I want to do it.
Yeah. Now there's this big build-up. Are you about to drop an F-bomb? Or what are we doing?
It would be a very direct sign. It'd be like... Look, you know,
it would tell me exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I'm busy in here, and if you wanna join, fine. If not, go away.
Wow. Yeah. So that would be if you ever had a guest over or something.
Yeah.
We got bed bugs in that apartment.
Oh no! In the kitchen? Did it start in the kitchen?
It actually did.
It did.
Yeah, you got them first.
I don't know, but I remember your bedroom had them.
It was a nightmare.
That sounds like a nightmare. Tell me all about it.
I read that you had to move your bed from the wall and like put double set of tape on the legs so they can't crawl up. But they were crawling up onto the ceiling above my head and dropping onto my pillow.
Into your mouth.
While I'm reading a book, they start falling. I'm like, what the hell is happening? So we actually moved because of that problem and threw out all of our stuff and started over.
It's still like... is damaging even to this day. Like I won't sit down on subway trains.
I do. That's a little crazy.
This is like, or even spurred like when, some over OCD.
Oh, totally. Like whenever like someone on the subway, if I'm too close to someone and I rub up against them, I'll have to like wipe my,
oh,
my
man.
Shirt off or something.
This is bad.
Yeah.
But when we go to hotels and stuff, we check the mattresses for like 20 minutes and we help each other.
Are you being serious?
100%.
Every time.
Every time.
You check the mattresses for bed bugs,
yes.
and do you pull out the black light and everything as well? Or?
Well, we have our phone lights, and we pull out the mattress from the wall, and we flip
Hotels
it
Hotels should
down.
Pay us.
This has to be documented, for the record.
It's whenever we fly into a city, I feel like this like dreadful feeling because I know I have to check a mattress. Because most of the time you don't...
Amazing.
Most of the time you don't find bed bugs, but you find other stuff that you don't want to be seeing.
Oh,
and you got to sleep
mostly
in it.
It's boogers. Like we pick it up, we're like, is this a bed bug? No.
Like just like pee stains and
you find weird
dirty underwear
yeah
underneath what? The underneath the
mattress between the
mattress
and the box.
Yeah.
Drugs.
stashing them in
there.
Oh,
yeah, we found like a bag of pot once.
Yeah, and then there was something else. Oh, like a baby bottle. It's just like random stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, we found bed bugs like 8 times at hotels. Like, no, not what? Joking.
And then you're like, guys.
And then we're like, we got to go. And we usually leave the hotel. And if it's too late, we'll like switch a floor and we'll recheck and make sure.
Oh, my
but
God. They're
the, so that's
this is real now. This just got real for everyone. Yeah. Everyone listening, it definitely got real for
they're
me.
They're actually there.
You should 100% check every like bed that is not like familiar to you. Please check. Please just lift up. It's so easy. Just lift up the sheets. What? Check the seams of that mattress.
And our bandmates, like, they thought we were crazy until like one of them found them.
And they were like, you saved my life.
And then now they're like checking like crazy.
So, yeah. So, okay. So let's say that one of our listeners is going over to a stranger's house, for example, after 11 p.m.
Ah.
What are they supposed to do? Well, just, hey, real so, quick.
No, if their friend is in the bathroom real quick.
Yeah. And then make up an excuse why they have to leave.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. What's the best part about being in the situation that you guys are in now? I mean, you were never staying in hotels. You were never, I mean, maybe every once in a while, but now it's become a regular thing. You have, I, you know, went to your guys' show. You have a tour bus and you have all these, like, you know, toys and new apartments. What's that like for you guys, or what does it mean to you?
I think where we're at now, I think the freedom we have now is life changing. We don't have 9-to-5 jobs like we used to. The money situation is so much better than it used to be. And I think that allows us so much more freedom.
At the same time, years ago, we had nothing to lose. And now it feels like we're scared of like, how do we keep, was that a fluke? How do we do this? How do we write songs? Because we're stuck right now writing a song. It's like, can we still write songs? And every time we write a song, we're like, thank God, like we could still write a song. But, we would still be doing this if we didn't have the success that we had. But now we're able to do this. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. So
do you think the pressure is more now these days that you put on yourself?
I mean,
obviously now there's just a way larger audience for you to screw up in front of.
There's a purity that I miss from like where we used to be, where when we had nothing to lose, like it felt like there was an urgency to what we were doing because it like our survival depended on it.
I think it's just getting older, you know? Like you lose something. It's like so easy to lose this magic and this wide-eyed like view of the world that I don't know you had when you were a kid. We're still young. And I think we're always just trying to get back to that point. And reminding us ourselves. I mean, I remind myself every day like the things that I'm grateful for and thankful for and how, because it's so easy to get caught up in like the nuances of like stuff in everyday life that doesn't matter. You know, just remembering to breathe whenever I'm in the subway on my way to Chad's and I'm breathing now. Basically, I've had anxiety over the past few years that I've like been dealing with. So
yeah, how do you deal with it?
Meditating.
Okay.
How else do I deal with it, Chad?
I think Lena helps you a lot.
My wife helps me.
Recently married. How's it been?
It's been amazing. It's big life stuff, you know, but she's the best and it's so easy. And I never thought it could feel this way.
And you're like the most adult person I know.
I know. I really.
Wait, because he's married?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just a very adult
it is.
Move.
It is.
I know. We have a place with a dog.
They bought a place. They bought a place on the Upper West Side.
Morningside Heights.
So you really did. You went from like 28 to like 40, like overnight.
Yeah, and I'm growing a beard.
I'm not into it.
He doesn't like hairy guys.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Nah. I don't like hair.
You're not, like, you do the whole like trim it's down, gotta, shave everything.
Yeah, I mean.
Brazilian, male Brazilian wax.
I had a woman today that was like, you want a Brazilian? I'll give you Brazilian. And I was like,
no. Just some random lady on the street? What are we talking about? Someone's like, hey, sir, you want a Brazilian?
Wait, you got a Brazilian?
No.
Where were you that she was allowed to ask you that?
I was at my, at like a...
There's a waxing place in the building.
No, there is not, okay?
I'm surprised there's not, by the way.
There was, I was at this waxing place and the woman I was seeing.
So you were already at a waxing. Let's get through that first. Yeah. You went there to get a wax.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should. I feel like all guys should.
I mean, it just sounds awful.
Well, it does. At first, it's awful. But the more you do it, like, your hair grows in thinner each time. So it gets easier and easier.
Right. So, yeah, I probably would never get to the first time.
That would be right. But she's like, you sure you don't want Brazilian? And I was like, what is that? And she was like, well, you know, you do the butt. And then I do the front. Even the testicles.
You do the butt?
No, she. And I was like, testicles? I was like, what do you mean? She's like, yes, some men love it. And I was like, no. I was like, that's got to be the most painful thing ever. She's like, yes, but it's worth it.
Well, so you didn't go through with it?
No. Not this time.
You'll never know if it was worth it then.
Yeah.
My chest hair is connected to my
everything
my
hair?
My face and my head and my back. Why can't guys lose hair on their back? You know?
I don't have hair on my back.
But like, why does it got to go on their head?
Probably because you wax it.
Yeah, because I wax it, right?
Yeah. Let's be real.
I've got a little... like hair pattern baldness happening.
Do
you? Just like a receding thing. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? You have a wife now. You have a dog. You have a house on the Upper West Side. Of course you have some mild pattern baldness. That comes with the territory.
Like a very like introverted person.
Yeah, so. I mean, for an introverted person, where you guys have come in the past couple years, I mean, 3-4 years, from the, you know, playing in my basement.
Yo, that was so much fun.
Still a very memorable night amongst our friends, for real. And then to, you know, the small room at Rockwood Music Hall to, you know, now what's the largest audience that you guys are playing in front of?
Probably, I mean, we play so many different things, but...
What's the average?
It sort of depends. We just got off a tour with Matt Nathanson and Phillip Phillips.
It's like... That was like 3,000 to 5,000 a night. And then...
It's real.
It's real.
Pretty serious.
The largest was... I just played one song, and it was at Jazz Fest in New Orleans for 50,000 plus. It was like...
Amazing.
It was madness. It was just like a sea of people. It was for Christina's set.
She brought you out for it.
She brought me out for a song.
Christina who?
Christina Aguilera.
You have to pronounce it correctly for the record. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think that's going back to that, how cool that this, you know, superstar Grammy winner hears your guys' song, and not only does she want it, you know, for her own, but she still wants to incorporate you into it. I mean, that's just such a, I don't know the behind the scenes how that happened, but
if she was very like, if she was like so amazing the way she even asked us too, it was just like, she was very sensitive and didn't want to step on anyone's toes and was like, so considerate.
She's like, I would love to just add a vocal texture to what you already have.
Are you guys okay with this? Like, I don't want to, like, if you're not okay, it's totally cool. Like, just very down to earth and treated us like we were her peers. And
which is unbelievable. I guess for me, I think of, like, the big bad music industry and how, you know, someone with her success would just come in and be like, my song.
Yeah.
Now it's my song. And you guys, here's your $20,000 and be on your way. Because that's easily how it could have gone.
We offered a verse to her because we didn't know how it was going to go down. And then she's like, actually, I just have this harmony idea. Let me just try it. And then she did it and a few times. And we were like, oh, like this is what this sounds like. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay. And it was like so fast. And then I had sweaty armpits that day. I was so nervous. I was so nervous because we had never met her before and we had no idea what the hell was happening. And there was no producer in the room. It was just us.
You're talking about the day that
we recorded,
that you recorded the song.
Yeah. I mean, when we found out she wanted to do it, we were in LA a week later in the studio. And
it was us two, Christina, the engineer behind the computer, and then two camera guys. One camera guy in the control room where me and Ian were, and one where Christina was.
Why cameras?
Because they wanted to document this whole thing. But that made me so nervous.
Oh, yeah. That adds this other level. You're like, I thought this was going to be an intimate experience.
And then, so before Christine even got there, the guys were on like walkie-talkies or something, and they were like, she's coming.
Oh,
she's coming.
No.
And then, like, they got cameras
awful.
Up, and the lights go up.
That's
and, like,
terrible.
And we're like, ah.
I wish that they had just kept the cameras on your guys' faces during this. Just like freaking out. That's amazing.
But I just tend not to talk in those circumstances. Yeah. There is, like, she'd record a pass, and then, like, she'd ask for feedback. So Chad and I would, like, argue, like, no, you press the button to talk to her. No, you do. And so Chad did most of the...
Because usually a producer would do that.
Christina, we were thinking... My show, The Drop-In, with most of the people, we talk about a transition point where a lot of people, they're pursuing a specific career, and then at one point in their life, they divert and start going in a different direction based on what their passion is. For you guys, both of you grew up performing and playing music, and so there wasn't necessarily for you guys that transition point, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a transition kind of for me and for you. There were transitions within the world of music, I think. Like, I think for me, the biggest transition point was when I started singing, and that was when I was 20.
Okay. So you had been playing piano and other instruments, right?
Yeah, ish.
Ish. But up until you were 20, you knew that you had a voice, but you didn't really.
I didn't know that I had a voice.
Didn't
I was
even
so
know.
Insecure to even hear my own voice. I wouldn't even sing to myself because I was so scared of it. And when I met Chad, I guess part of me was like really wanting to do it, but I hadn't really acknowledged that part. And I was humming a little bit. And when I showed Chad the music and I was humming a little bit to him, he's like, "Why aren't you singing?" And he bought me a voice lesson. I didn't even know him. And he's like, "You're going to be a star. I'm going to..."
"Someday you're going to move to the Upper West Side and have a wife and a dog. You're going to be a star."
And he's like, "I'm going to manage you, you know?" So I started seeing
very business-minded Chad.
So we both were in the music business program at NYU, and I was totally taking the path of like going to the... I wanted to be at the top of the label, the CEO. I wanted to manage artists. And when I found Ian, it was like... I didn't find Ian.
Ian found you.
Ian found me.
Right.
Yeah. But like, I was like, holy crap, this is perfect. I'm going to manage you. I'm going to do this thing.
He had his own management company. He was managing lots of artists. And...
Oh, really? Okay. So talk about this.
Yeah.
You were managing artists.
Yeah. I was managing... It was a band in New Zealand called Mum's Dollar that I was managing here in the U.S., really trying to break them and trying to get them to the U.S. to tour. Who else was I managing?
Mario Spinetti.
Oh, yeah. Mario Spinetti. I wonder if he has music out right now. It doesn't matter, but brilliant artist, Mario Spinetti. I was managing this kid. I was in college. I was a junior in college. I didn't know what I was doing. But yeah, I was taking this business path. And then it wasn't until a few years later, while I was managing Ian, that we wrote a song called This Is the New Year. And then there was a verse that really kind of resonated with me that was, "Say everything you've always wanted. Be not afraid of who you really are." And I asked Ian if I could sing on it. And then from that point on, and he said yes.
Had you heard him sing?
Yeah, I heard him sing.
But just like randomly?
And he was like writing songs with different people. And like, I think you had like your own little side project of just songs you were writing, but wasn't really performing or pursuing it. But I knew that he sang, and I loved his voice.
So at this point, you're singing because he had encouraged you to use that.
Yeah, and I didn't know that I had it. And then I went to this voice coach, Wendy Parr, who we saw for years and years and years, and she completely like changed my life. But at the end of the first lesson, she's like, "You're a singer. You're a singer. You're a singer." And she just kept repeating
That's
it over
awesome.
And over again. And I remember just like crying. And I would like walk down the street just like smiling with tears in my eyes because I was so high on life. At the fact that this was happening, it felt like I was being born, and I really changed. It really felt like the beginning of an awakening for me, for sure. Yeah, and we started just playing like little open mics. I remember the first first open mic. Actually, Sebastian Stan came to that first open mic.
No way.
Yeah, with Phil.
At, wait, which? Sidewalk?
At no. Sidewalk, yeah.
No.
No, not at Sidewalk. Wait, yeah, at Sidewalk.
No way.
Totally.
And this was when? In what year?
Oh, my God.
2006?
2005. Yeah. Crazy.
Fresh out of Rutgers.
Fresh out of Rutgers. Yeah, that was, oh, my God. So we did open mics, and then we
booked. And was it good?
No.
Yeah. It was terrible?
No. I don't know. I think people were, I don't know.
There were like 10 people. I can't remember.
Yeah. And then, I can't remember. And then we would like, he would book me show. Chad would book me shows at like the 5 o'clock slot on like a Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you making money off of him then?
No.
No.
No. I mean,
I don't think you ever made money off of me.
No. But I did when you signed with the label. And then I quit my job. I was able to quit my job.
And I was able to quit mine.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So one of the new partners that we have on this show and a few other shows on the At Will Network is HelloFresh. What is HelloFresh? I'm glad you asked. HelloFresh is a meal delivery service. They bring you fresh ingredients and proteins to your door every week, and it's all portioned out into the correct portions. For me, someone who obviously works in restaurants but doesn't cook, this was brilliant. I hate supermarkets. The only thing I ever buy at a supermarket is toilet paper and water and occasionally a hungover Gatorade, but that's pretty much it. So when I get stuff delivered to me like this in a box that I don't have to worry about getting anything else, it's amazing. So what did I do? I took everything out of the box. I followed the like quick, easy instructions, honestly, and I cooked up an amazing steak stir fry, but not only for me, ladies and gents. My girlfriend came home and was like, what is this? Will, what are you doing? You're gonna burn the kitchen down. You don't know what you're doing. And I said, please, back away, sit down, and you are going to enjoy what I have prepared for you. And guess what? She did. She said that I even was better looking in those 10 minutes that I was cooking. She said that I seemed stronger and that I looked more like a man. If you want to impress your girlfriend like I did, go to HelloFresh.com, use the code DROPIN for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Check them out right now. Once again, code DROPIN, DROPIN. You'll thank me later.
So Ian signed with an independent label called Tiny Ogre. They gave him an advance or a stipend to live off of.
Basically, I was working at the Apple Store at the time. And they were like, well, what would you need? And I was like, well, what I'm making at the Apple Store.
Great negotiating skills, yeah. Let me carry the one. So it's 15, I guess, I don't know, $16 an hour?
So I was just so happy to be making my Apple Store salary and I didn't work there.
I love that.
And I got to leave, and Apple was amazing to me, but like it was time. It had been time. And then you got your management commission and you left your job.
Yeah,
and so then
we both jumped ship at our day jobs.
Yeah.
Around that time. And then we both like committed to making money through music from that point on. Like there would be no other way. There'd be no going back to like the day job situation. We had to figure it out. And then it sort of forced us to.
And then when the label folded a couple years later, we got all the rights to our music back, which never happens. And Chad and I were like, well, why are you Ian Axel when I'm singing on all these songs? And we both agreed that we were in this together since the beginning, and let's form something new that where both of us are in it. So we formed a Kickstarter, and we didn't really have a name for the band yet, but I think right at when the Kickstarter was over, we called it A Great Big World, and we recorded 6 songs, and that was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think there were 300 people who helped us start this thing.
Yeah.
And that was how we started A Great Big World.
How much did you raise?
$21,000.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get that number from? It's just the most random number I've ever heard.
We asked for 15.
Guys, we're raising $21,000.
We asked for 15. I think the songs was going to cost like $20,000 to do it like an EP. But we wanted to make sure we hit the goal. So we asked for 15. And we didn't know.
It's weird that you remember that.
Yeah, I remember it vividly because my mom had open heart surgery the day that the Kickstarter went up. So I remember this like very vividly.
Wow.
Yeah. She's okay now. But yeah,
that was my next question.
It was intense. That whole period of my life. I remember that day we were sitting in the hospital with my whole family, just like waiting. And like Kickstarter was like this distraction. And But we all knew it was going to be okay. I remember it kind of got my mind off of it that day.
Speaking of health things, you obviously, I'm speaking to Chad right now, but you have health, I don't want to say issues, but...
Yeah, I am.
But can you talk about that a little and just totally. Kind of how it's woven its way kind of into your guys?
Totally. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2007, and a doctor that I had said that I would most likely be paralyzed within 7 years. From this disease if I didn't take the medication he prescribed. I took the medication he prescribed and it made me worse. And so I found other ways to treat this thing through diet, lifestyle changes, meditation, exercise, sleep. And that approach has been working for me ever since I changed it. And I feel better than ever right now. So it's funny because we didn't really start talking about this until this past year, after we wrote a song called Won't Stop Running.
Which is an amazing song if you haven't listened to it.
Thanks. So Ian and I, we've learned over the years of writing with each other that the best stuff comes from us digging as deep as possible, being as honest with ourselves as we can be. And I think when we started to find that out, like talking about the MS and singing about it and writing about it made so much sense. And also there's another song called Hold Each Other, which is a song where Ian sings about a girl, I sing about a guy very directly. And it was the most frightening song to sing and to record and to perform live because you don't often hear that from a guy. I think we've sort of used our music as our own therapy, and it's been really rewarding in that sense.
And that's really what this is about, I think. I think first and foremost, I mean, we write songs because they change our lives and we use them for ourselves. And then the most beautiful thing about them is that it actually brings us together with other people and we feel less alone in what we're going through. But I think it just starts with us and really digging and really sharing. I mean, it's literally therapy sessions. I mean, we're crying our eyes out when we're like writing our favorite songs, you know?
Say Something Was That.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Say Something Was That.
And by the way, one thing that I love about your guys' music, and I always have, is kind of just that, where it's like the emotion in the songs is tangible. You know, and especially seeing you guys actually perform it, you know, I don't know you that well, but what I do know about you, every time I watch you perform or I listen to the music, it is something that happens kind of inside of me too, that I'm like, wow, this is special. This isn't just, you know, some other song that's happening. This is like, there is a deeper kind of meaning that's behind all this.
Thank you.
And that's amazing. I'm sincerely saying that. I'm not trying to, you know.
Thank you. I've never been, I mean, like, we're actually talking about it before this podcast, but you asked me if I was Jewish or someone asked me if I was Jewish. And I've never been like a religious person. I mean, like, I went to temple and stuff, but like, and I was actually like confused about religion stuff before we started writing songs. And then when Chad and I started writing and we started having some of those, like, those really like cathartic experiences, I really felt like I was praying and it felt like, wow, there's something bigger here that we're just channeling that is kind of belongs to everybody. And, it's the magic of music that brings everyone together, and just really, really grateful that we get to do this, or that we know that we can do this one thing, you know?
Yeah, no, it's so cool. The thing that I also notice whenever I've listened to your guys' music is how, especially in some of the early stuff, how kind of playful and fitting for Broadway it could be. I mean, it's so funny, especially as Broadway shows these days have kind of evolved and become more kind of poppy in a way. And like, there you are able to, you know, go to the theater and listen to music that doesn't feel Andrew Lloyd Webbery or, you know, big organs and things like that. It's this is like contemporary music being played out, you know, on a stage that has all this history to it. So one thing, when Phil, who's our mutual friend, told me that you guys were getting involved in writing a musical, writing the music for it, I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what they should be doing. And I'm like, I always knew that. Why didn't I think of this before? Like, it was my idea or some stupid shit. But honestly, I was like, this is so exciting because it's the perfect genre for them. So I'd love to hear just kind of what you guys can talk about with this new project of yours.
Thank you. It's funny because when I met Chad and when I wasn't singing, but I was looking for someone to write music with, I didn't know what I wanted to make. So I was like, I wanted to make a musical. And I didn't really know what that meant. But I knew that I had these crazy theatrical tendencies. And when I met Chad, he had them too. And we were like, let's write this musical. So we talked about it when we briefly met. And it was like, no, you're going to be a solo artist. I'm going to manage you. And I was like, okay. So we went that route with this musical thing in the back of our minds that one day we would write a musical. And then about 4 years ago, we were out of the blue just approached by
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Scott Cameron.
Okay.
And Scott is the book writer for this original musical he was working on, and he's become one of our closest friends. I mean, he officiated my wedding and everything, but he's brilliant. And we met with him and a couple producers that were on board, and we're like, well, we don't know how to do this. We have no idea. And they're like, well, that's why we want you, because we want a fresh take on this. We want you to figure out your own way, and we'll coach you and we'll hold your hand through the process if you need it. And so we reluctantly said yes, because
reluctantly.
Yeah. I remember we're like, because we wanted to do it so bad. You know, when you actually have an opportunity to do something you want to do and you're so freaked out by it.
Of course.
I remember feeling that way, and doubting myself. So we did it. We wrote a song. We thought this would be like a few month process, and here we are 4 years later still talking about it, and no one's even heard the
yeah, there's half of a bridge has been written.
Every day, just another syllable. But we're still working on this thing, and
we have a show right now.
Yeah, we have over an hour of music.
And by the way, from what I've heard, and this is why I was like excited also to talk to you, besides even the podcast, is what I've heard is that it's amazing. And that the first people that have heard this music, I guess you guys performed some of it live for a smaller group, were like, oh my God, this is, what's Hamilton?
No.
I'm joking, but you know what I mean.
It's like our music on steroids. That's what this is.
But we did get to play it. We played it at Joe's Pub just for just a small group of people to test it out.
Yeah, my invite was, I guess it was probably just like, I changed my email a lot.
So. It was in the mail. You may have changed your physical. My address.
Oh, that's right. It got sent back to me. I think I got the wrong address.
Yeah, my address. It was my address.
I think the reaction was really great. And we're still, you know, there's a director on board that we just started working with, but I think it's too early to kind of say who it is. But we're really excited about it, and we're workshopping in December for the first time
with like actors,
like real people.
Yeah, they're gonna be reading and singing the script.
So cool.
Yeah,
and with kids too, because there's like four or five kids in the show. So it'll be really great to see.
I can't wait to cast this thing. To like sit behind the table. Like watch people audition.
You don't really know if it's
with your feet up, like crossed on the table.
Yeah.
Next, show us what you got, kid.
That would be so amazing. I'd actually feel really nervous. I feel everyone's nerves.
Yeah, you feel their energy.
Yeah,
dude, do I feel nervous right now?
Yeah.
I hope they.
Do you feel my nervous? Am I nervous? I don't know if I'm nervous. I'm asking you.
No.
Okay. So when I walked in today, you guys were like, it felt like I had walked into the middle of like an annoying kind of moment, or not annoying, but a frustrating kind of maybe past hour or something. So what is that like when you get to a point where as an artist, you're kind of just like, this is not working?
I easily, and I shouldn't do this, and Chad yells at me whenever I do this, but I easily go to a place where like, I suck. I can't do this. What are we doing? Like, how do we do this? People are going to find out that we're frauds.
Yeah. You're ripping up the sheet music, setting it on fire.
So I have to get better at that. But I don't know. It gets like we go down a rabbit hole, and then we get then we forget what we're writing.
This process has been so different than writing a pop song, because every line has to support the next. It's like when one thing changes, the entire thing changes. The entire song has to change.
Because the song has to move a story forward. So you need to be in a different place with every character who's singing the song. From the beginning to the end, you're in a different emotional spot. So it's right now we're writing a song that has a lot of characters in it. We write music first before lyrics. And a lot of people write lyrics first and then write the music to it.
No, I like it the other way around.
Do you like the music first?
Yeah, I like music first. Mm-hmm. It helps guide everything.
Yeah. Well, we're like, melodies just fly out of us, but then like lyrics...
Slower?
Like, yeah, because like, because you're putting yourself in a box, because then you have this melody that has to have... the lyrics need to fit the melody perfectly.
We're working on a new song, and I think we have like 6 lines to finish, and I think we wrote maybe 2 yesterday. Like an 8-hour day working on 2 lines.
Right. And it's like, all right, pack up, boys. We're going for a beer.
I think
good work today.
It's not like we're sitting there doing nothing. Like, no, we're like,
of course, you're racking your brain over this.
And
rhyming as well as like fitting to the melody. And
this is thesauruses are just out everywhere.
And then totally. Yeah. I have rhymezone.com, B rhyme, which is like slant rhymes, thesaurus, and then
I think all those websites should get writing credit.
By the way, I'm just so glad to hear this, because I feel like I'll listen to an artist or hear a songwriter or something. I'm like, I think they use the thesaurus. I think they used the rhyme dictionary on that one. They had to have. So I'm glad to hear that this actually does happen. It's not just, they're not just that good.
And like, I want perfect rhymes.
Totally.
More so than Chad. So it like must rhyme. And if nothing's rhyming, then we have to change one of the rhymes. Then we have to change. But then that line has to rhyme with the 1-2 lines before. So then that one needs to change. And then, it's like a.
Then you scrap the whole thing.
Yeah. This we're throwing out the song. Yeah,
and this then isn't working.
It becomes like an intellectual project,
right?
Which is, I think, writing a song. It's like you have to walk the line between being present and then using your mind.
I think John Mayer said something like this, but he said writing a song is like completing a crossword puzzle, and that the more you fill in, the harder it gets. And that's exactly what happens. Because we're so close to being done with this thing, but it feels like it's harder than it was.
Are you talking about the song or the musical or both?
I meant a song in the musical.
I think it applies to the musical too, because we're sharpening the pencil right now, and we keep combing through, and we're making it more emotional. And as we go deeper, it gets harder. And now, but it's exciting because all the different themes that we've written, we're starting to like really incorporate it into everywhere. So it's becoming more of a score.
Mm-hmm. I love a good layering. Also, like for the reprise.
Did you say reprise or reprise? Reprise, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, reprise. I love a good like pull that first song that you heard and throw it into the end of the.
And now it means something different.
Did you see Hamilton? Totally.
Yeah, of course. He's like the king of that.
That's so good.
Where he just just bring him back.
Yeah.
But then did you listen to In the Heights?
No.
Oh, that's Lin-Manuel's first.
Yeah, I gotta listen back.
He wears every song, and and then it just builds, and you're just like, it just becomes the masterpiece.
I went to see Weird Al last week.
Yeah.
And he brought Lin-Manuel up for his finale.
Really?
Just to sing one line, and then he walked off stage.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
I mean, he's everywhere these days.
I know.
Lin-Manuel. I saw him in like a nice like polo button down, like at the US Open, like, it's just like, really? Is that him?
We can't compare what we're doing to what he's doing. No. I mean, we would just give up.
But what he has done is actually paved the way.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways for you guys.
He does him so well. Like, he's figured out what he does.
Yeah.
And we're just paying attention to the kind of like, we're inspired, but it's like, okay, but let's get back to like.
Yeah, what we do.
Mm-hmm. Us and this, it's very different.
Who are you listening to right now? Who are you excited by?
Oh, I just downloaded Bon Iver's new record. But I've been obsessed with Beyonce's Lemonade for months since it came out, and I'm going to see her on Friday.
Nice.
And for the first time, I've never seen her. I'm so excited.
That'll be fun. The what's it called? Formation.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Have you seen her?
Notice how I know that? Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I went and saw her, and I was like, "What is this song?" Because obviously, I just didn't know the music, but I was like, "That song's great." And she was doing, you know, the whole.
Oh my god!
It's badass. Oh my god! I think she starts with it.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me.
Sorry, just ruined the whole concert. You might as well not go. Go ahead.
I like Jeff Lynne from ELO, and I'm like in love with his latest record. And I went to see him at Radio City, also Radio City, a few weeks ago. Surprised my dad for his birthday, and it was just really beautiful and genius. And also this band from Brooklyn called Here We Go Magic. I don't know if you heard of them, but they have this record called A Different Ship, and it is incredible. Like one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Great.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get some show notes up, baby. Mitch is over here. He's our producer. He's like, yeah, got it. Thank you guys so much for your time today. I know you're busy. I can't wait to hear the new project and how it's going. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And I know, you know, it was such an amazing experience to be able to see you guys in Chicago. I was in Chicago and I saw them perform live, and I hadn't seen you guys in a while. And just to see kind of where you've come and be able to see it in that, like, I got the chills like four times. I'm with my girlfriend. I'm like, yo, are you getting the chills right now, or is this just me? And she's like, I think it's just you. I mean, it's good, but, you know, I'm like, all right, well, I am. This is happening right now. And just like kind of watching people who didn't know who you were, you know, or who did know who you were, just kind of react was just a really cool kind of experience for someone like me who, you know, the last time I saw you kind of, well, I saw you perform at Highline Ballroom, but before that was, you know, in smaller places.
In your apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, smaller places, yeah. Like my dungeon apartment in the West Village, like between like puffs of other people's cigarettes, just like hazing out the place. Yeah. I mean, I wish that everyone had I had a BlackBerry back then. I wish everyone had phones to actually record what was happening, because it was like 20 people.
Yeah.
Like having a full on like sing-a-thon with you guys at the helm. It was amazing. You're welcome for that. Anyways. You had to be there. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not listened to A Great Big World or any of their music, hop on Spotify or iTunes or whatever you use to listen to music and check them out right now. They're not only great guys, super talented, but they are going places and fast. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 1 of season 2 of The Drop-In. And thank you so much to Ian and Chad for sitting down with me and taking the time. They were literally in the process of writing the songs to this Broadway musical that they're working on. And they played some for us, and it was unbelievable. Thank you so much to them. Join me next week, Thursday, for another episode with an exciting guest you will not want to miss. In the meantime, subscribe to The Drop-In and other shows on @WillRadio, and follow me on Instagram and Twitter @WillMalnati.